This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Do you ever meet someone who seems kind of off? When someone isn't being fully honest with you about their past, you should turn to Truthfinder. Whether it's a creepy neighbor or a random phone number, Truthfinder has you covered. You can search for people by phone number, address, name, email, and more. Truthfinder can be especially helpful for running confidential background checks on anyone you plan to meet from online dating apps. If you're on a dating app, you need to be on Truthfinder. Go to truthfinder.com to uncover the truth today.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this, Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Banks of the Arkansas by Lucero, Memphis band with an Arkansas song. As I give a Memphis shout out to my Arkansas Razorbacks, Woo Pig Suey into the Sweet 16.
You know, you weren't a big Calipari fan. So how do you feel about the Hogs advancing to the Sweet 16?
I was there before him, so he cannot infringe upon my claim to the Arkansas Razorbacks. I know college basketball loves to, like, highlight the coaches and, like, something. The players will do something amazing. Like, there was one point in that game against St. John's where, like, the players are just playing their hearts out and they did something amazing, and the announcers are like, this is what you get when it's John Calipari versus Rick Pitino. I'm like, I'm ignoring these dudes. I'm focusing on the players. My heart is with the players. I don't care that the coaches are the celebrities in college ball. Shout out to the big men going hard in that game. I don't care about the coaches.
It was kind of an ugly game, Chris.
It was ugly in the best possible way, though, because dudes were just going.
They were going at it. That is true. That is true. It was ugly in the best possible way. All right. So what is your level of confidence here on Monday, March 24th, that the Grizzlies will avoid the play-in?
I wouldn't put it at high. I certainly think there's a better than 50% chance they avoid the play-in. So, I the scale to me tips in the direction of that they'll be in the top six. But I wouldn't, like, you know, I wouldn't, like, bet a lot of money on it or anything. But, you know, they've got, what, two and a half game? I think it's 2.5. Is that right?
So, and the nice thing is if they stay ahead of, like, Golden State is part of it too, really. Like, so.
No, we're talking about the play-in.
I know, but if Golden State loses a lot, they could miss it. You know what I mean? Like, they're ahead of all three of these teams right now. So, but they're 2.5 up on Minnesota, and with a win tonight, that can be 3, plus you've got the tiebreaker. That seems pretty solid. But they're 3 up on the Clippers, who have won 8 out of 10. And if they win 8 out of their next 10, and hell, they nearly beat Oklahoma City. They almost beat the Cavs. Like, they've been playing very well. If they win 8 out of their next 10, won't they catch the Grizzlies?
Well, maybe they also catch, again, he had to lose two spots.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, you know, maybe. But three games is a lot to make up. I know everyone is very eager to, like, declare the Grizzlies dead and assume that all bad things will only happen, and that might end up being true. But, like, we're talking about 11 games to go, a two-and-a-half-game lead. The Clippers have a road trip still on their schedule. A lot of these teams, you look at the schedule, a lot of these teams have road trips. A lot of these teams are going to play each other. There's a lot of room for volatility in the standings the rest of the way. You know, the Grizzlies are going to play OKC, which is a probable loss for anybody. And then after that, like, you know, you got some more manageable games. You also got some important games against the Lakers and the Warriors. The Grizzlies are 5-5 in their last 10. Guess what? So are the Nuggets, you know. So are the Lakers are 4-6 in their last 10. The Grizzlies could move down. The Grizzlies could still move up. Like, you know, I mean, it's not like they're world beaters. The Nuggets and the Lakers are not conquering the world right now.
Yeah. I want to – you may sense eagerness to declare them dead. I'm just speaking myself. It's dread. It's not eagerness. It's dread. And my own particular dread is that they get into the play-in, they miss the play-in, and you've given up a lottery pick to unload Marcus Smart. I catastrophize everything.
It's pick protected? Is lottery protected.
Is it? Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, the pick is lottery protected.
It's good they built that in. I don't think I noticed it at the time because it wasn't even a thing. Right?
It wasn't even something people were thinking about, right? Oh, well, yes, it's lottery protected. That's my understanding.
Thank you for the assurance there. That's good to hear. Well, maybe that's the upside. Cooper Flag, here we come. Okay, so yeah. No, I'm more wary of it than anything else. Obviously, it was the Clippers game, which you wrote about. That is not one that you necessarily expected them to win. Some interesting things happened in that game, including a change to the starting lineup. What did you make of, let's start with there, what did you make of the Clippers game?
You know, they had a pretty good first half in that game, and then, like, Tyronn Lue adjusted, and, like, you know, they need John Morant back, newsflash. Yeah. And so the starting lineup change did not surprise me. It surprised me that that's the game they did it in, given who they were playing against. But it felt like it was headed towards that, and maybe it was the Santi Aldama injury had delayed something they were going to do anyway. Be interesting to see if they continue with that against Utah, which has a huge front line, right? Or do they go back to Edie? But it felt like, I mean, I asked Taylor Jenkins a few weeks ago about starting two rookies. He sort of suggested there might be a lineup change coming. And, like, it sure took them a long time to get there, right? Like, you feel like you want to be doing what you want to do earlier than that. Of course, the injuries have been a problem, and now they have the Brandon Clark injury. I think from a minute standpoint, they're going to lead into Jaren and Santi in the playoffs, assuming they get to the playoffs, and you might as well start doing it now. So I suspect that is what they will roll out there in the playoffs as well.
So they made that change, and then the temporary change, at least until Jaws back, they elevated Scottie Pippen into the starting lineup over Luke. Thoughts on that one? I don't know what's happening over there now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to walk between coffee shops, and suddenly the wind has gotten very, very, very strong.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So, Scottie Pippen Jr. also gets the start.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, they're keeping a seat warm for John Morant. Right. They had been starting Luke. Scottie's been playing really, really well lately, and I think that's been the one good thing that's happened the last few weeks for the Grizzlies is the Scottie Pippen's reemergence. I'd been hoping that he would get more of a chance, and I'd said that. But I think, you know, if John's back, you know, John and Bane are starting, and I think Kennard and Scottie Pippen are both going to play major roles. And it feels like, you know, more and more they're probably going to have to lean into small ball in the playoffs when they don't have Jaren and Santi both on the floor.
Right. All right. So end up losing to the Clippers. They got Utah tomorrow night. They have 11 games left. And now they're without Brandon Clark. That injury is, I don't know if it's exactly the same, but it's got the same words in it as the Steven Adams injury. Your thoughts on the Brandon Clark?
Well, issue. I mean, there's only so much we know officially at this point. They have not laid out a course of treatment, but they did call it a high grade PCL strain.
Yep.
Or sprain. I can remember what they called it, sprain or strain.
Sprain.
And basically that means there's a tear in the ligament. High grade means there's a tear in the ligament. And so, you know, they haven't said it's going to require surgery, but that suggests that it certainly might require surgery. I mean, my read on it is that it seems like it probably does, but that's certainly not definite. They have not said that yet. So, I mean, this is a guy this is a second major lower body injury in the last 3 years for a guy who's a 6'7", 6'8" player who operates in the paint and is going to be 29 next season. And so it's a big hit to the Grizzlies in the short term, because if you're talking about who you believe in the playoffs, Brandon Clark is probably fourth on the list.
Yep.
Like, Santi Aldama has been the fourth best player over the course of the season. In terms of who you really fully believe in the playoff basketball, it's probably Brandon Clark was the fourth guy. He's done it before. And so it's a huge blow in the regular season, or in this season, that they can't replace. The roster is what it is. And then, you know, we should focus on now, but when you go into the summer, it's going to be an issue if he is compromised going into next season, because that is $12.5 million on the books for a player who may not be playing for you, at least at the start of next season, depending on how this shakes out. In a summer where you're trying to give more money to Jaren Jackson and Santi Aldama, and like the money's getting tight.
Yeah. So the Steven Adams injury, again, it was a PCL tear, but I don't know if it was a PCL sprain. They tried to treat it without surgery, and then he ultimately had surgery in October, basically, when the Grizzlies shut him down, right? And then he did not come back and play at all in that year.
At all that season, right?
Yeah.
And then this season, like, he's played well when he's played. He's averaged 13 minutes a game for the Rockets.
Right.
So he is not, he did not get back to what he was exactly.
Right. The Grizzlies made the right choice, assuming that he would not get back to where he was. So you may not have Brandon Clark at the start of next season. How many years left on that deal?
It's 2 years, 12.5 each year. And so, you know, if you go into next season and you've got Brandon Clark and John Conchar for a combined, you know, $19 million, and neither of them are slotted to be in your rotation to open the year, like that's another hard thing to sort of work with, you know.
All right, so that's the long term concern. In terms of the short term, if you, again, we don't know, but they may put Edie back into the starting lineup against Utah just because of the size that Utah has. But how do you see the rotations playing out? Now, and there's been, you know, Zach Edey has struggled of late.
Right.
So now you're just, there's really not much choice, right?
Well, no, there are choices, but they're just not good ones.
Okay.
And so you've got Edey, who's been in the mix. He's been starting, but he's been in the rotation. And you also have Jay Huff. If you look at the game against the Clippers, they played Edey and Huff both double-digit minutes off the bench with Clark out.
Right.
Those are two different kind of players. But they're similar in that they both likely compromise your defense against playoff opponents.
Right.
They're different players offensively, but they both compromise your defense. So do you roll with one or both of those? I think you have to roll with at least one of the two in your rotation. Or do you scale down and play small? And, you know, you got to look at, you know, Gigi Jackson's been banished to the G League, but he's going to be on the playoff roster, and he's 6'8 and athletic in some ways. And so do you bring him back at some point in the regular season and throw it out there and see if the defensive focus and attention looks better or not? And the guy I would really look at is Lamar Stevens. He's been out with the shoulder soreness, assuming he gets back. He's the guy who can defend up against bigs. Basically anyone Brandon Clark can defend, Lamar Stevens can probably defend, maybe not as well all the time, but he can sort of approximate that with his strength and length. I think there's a real good chance that if Lamar Stevens is healthy, he ends up playing a lot of playoff minutes for this team now.
It does make the...
And you got Marvin Bagley out there. Now, a lot of people want them to play Marvin Bagley because of his name, but there's not a lot of evidence to go on there, both in terms of his effectiveness or the Grizzlies' interest in putting him out there. Maybe that changes now.
Just in terms of, like, counting players here. So you got the three: Jaren, Ja, and Dez, and then Santi's four, and Luke's five, and Pippen's six. Is that right?
Jalen Wells.
That gets you to seven.
So you're definitely playing those guys.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at Vince Williams, and you're looking at Zach Edey, and that probably completes like a nine-man rotation if I were like guessing it right now. You're starting nine-man rotation, and then you're looking at like probably Huff and Lamar Stevens as guys who might work and get into that mix.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. And it makes you think, boy, Jake LaRavia and Marcus Smart could be useful, right?
Yes. No, but, you know, I mean, if Barney, yes, the answer is yes, but there's so much questionableness around the Marcus Smart, and there had been for a year and a half, and there right. remains. Like, who knows? He could be someone who would have helped you a lot in the playoffs. He could have been a guy who would not have helped you at all. Really, no one can say.
Right. By the way, where are you in terms of? I mean, this is, obviously has gone awry here. The biggest problem has been injuries. I mean, there's no question, right? The biggest problem has still been injuries. Of course, lots of teams are coping with injuries. But as you point out, as they cope with injuries, Denver's been without Jokic, and they're, what are they, 5-5 or 4-6 in their last 10? Like, lots of teams.
They're 5-5 in their last 10.
But what's your – has your view on – like, once upon a time, we thought someone from the GG, you know, Vince – who else was in that tangle of it was LaRavia was in there too. Now Jalen Wells sort of joined the fray. Like, this has been a setback this year because of development, injury, everything else. Long term, has it changed your outlook on them?
Those players?
And also whether the Grizzlies need to do something else headed. Again, we'll get to the offseason when they get to the offseason, but like, Is this just a circumstance, or is this, oh my God, this is just, they're going to have to do better by wings next year?
Well, I think it would be preferable to me that they added a veteran wing who could play above Wells and Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson going into next season. I think they're in a tough spot if they're trying to re-sign Santi Aldama and then give money to Jaren, and we'll see if they pay the tax. They always say that they will when the time comes, and like, the time is coming, but I don't know about that, right? And what are your other mechanisms? It's certainly preferable to me that they would add a wing, a proven wing, who you would definitely slide in above those guys. I'm not convinced that that's going to happen, or they would be able to make that happen. One thing that would be really helpful for the Grizzlies, and this is a hard thing to do, they've been really good at finding contributing players with low draft picks and two-way contracts,
mm-hmm.
like really good at that. What they haven't been really good at, and they haven't really tried, is like hitting big with like lower-level free agent signings. Like, if you look at the Dallas team, again, this is a hard thing to do, but if you look at the Dallas team last season, they got to the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
they traded for P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford at the deadline, and that helped transform their team. They were starting Derrick Jones Jr. on a league minimum, on a vet minimum contract. And then he played well, and he got a bigger contract from the Clippers next summer. But that's a guy they signed as a veteran free agent on a low-level deal and got a lot out of it. I think the Grizzlies, instead of like giving the last, and I've said this before, I said this last summer, instead of giving like all the bottom of the roster spots to like rookies, you know, like let's speculate on a couple guys like that and see if you can hit them one. That would really help the team, I think. To get into veteran free agency, even if it's at a low level, to try to get more veteran talent on the team.
And do we know anything about Ja?
No. I mean, the injury designation changed. Maybe I was just talking to Jeffrey when this came up, and you weren't there yet. You were in Seattle or whatever. But the injury designation changed from soreness to strain. But to me, that does not suggest a change in injury. That's just about league reporting protocols. And, like, if you're going to have a guy out for an extended stretch, you can't keep calling it soreness because that's not an injury.
Right.
So I don't think that signifies anything. But it still certainly leaves the uncertainty in place. I think Grizzlies fans have been trained to always be in this mode. But even now, more than ever, we're in the, like, let's see what the injury report says mode.
Yes.
Because, like, Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson had injuries in the Clippers game and went out and came back in. But, like, you know, are we going to be surprised if they pop up as, you know, doubtful or whatever for the game tomorrow night? I think everyone's waiting for that injury report for all kinds of players.
All right, Chris, I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian, walking in the wind. Yeah, so there you go. Oh, my God. What are your feelings on the Grizzlies, Jeffrey?
Not great. I do think the Brandon Clark loss was significant, because part of it was, all right, this is bad, but if you could get me to the playoffs.
Good health.
With the guys, I was like, all right, get me to the playoffs with Ja, Jaren, Dez, Santi, BC, Luke, and then backfill the rest.
Now you're going to be, I mean, even in that group that we ticked off, right, who's going to be playing, Jaren, Ja, Dez, Santi, Pippen, Luke, Jalen Wells, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then Vince Williams and Edie, let's say. That gets you to 9,
yep.
Okay? I mean, with all due respect, you got, yeah, but Scottie Pippen's been playing well, but
he is still an undersized
guard. Who of that group can you trust as bona fide playoff performers? And the honest truth is, there's only your big three. Santi probably.
He played better in that Lakers series than I think gets remembered because that series.
And
went.
He's also like he's played at the Olympics. Like he's a big. He's sure. Played in big games. So I'll slide him in there. But then beyond that, it's Kennard with his defensive deficiencies. Pippen, who is, you know, played great, but is
he's undersized.
He's not a guy that you'd be thrilled to be throwing out in a playoff series against the Rockets or.
Well, there's also with Scottie, it's like what's
and
the
then
role?
You got two rookies, one of whom has really been struggling, and Zach Edey.
I think you could say both have really been struggling.
They've both been really struggling. And then Vince Williams, hasn't looked good since he's been back from an injury, and that's it.
Yeah, I think though the simplest answer though is what's the cause for confidence? It's well, if you get the big three,
yes,
and they are healthy, they are really good players, and that's what it kind of boils down to. But as Chris just pointed out, Jaren gets banged up on Friday, Dez gets banged up on Friday. We don't have any.
Can't be in there.
We don't have any indication with Ja. Like that's what I think causes the. I think that's what causes the panic.
I do think the point that I made when Chris says everyone's eager to bury the Grizzlies. I mean, let's be honest. I think in sports we overreact to everything.
Sure.
But I don't think for most Memphians there is an eagerness to bury them. I think there is a dread of, oh, my God, and this is going to work out badly. There is a fear about what is happening. There's not an eagerness to embrace it, certainly, or whatever else. I think there is this dread that, oh my God, this collapse could really be happening. It is interesting to me because we've talked about throughout the year, we've talked about the Tigers and the Grizzlies sort of in tandem.
Yep.
You know, like what were the goals, or you know, whatever. For me, it was getting to the tournament if you're the Grizzlies, if the Tigers, it was being in the top six if you're the Grizzlies. Both could still attain those things. The trip there is a hell of an adventure. And then, you know, for the Grizzlies, I thought it was more important to actually go ahead and win a series, you know. And that is seeming remote now, but one never knows. One never knows. Anyway, a little harrowing. And that game tomorrow night feels massive, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, I'm a big believer of the Grizzlies' path to avoiding all the bad things is beat the bad teams.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to come back, talk more about the NCAA tournament and about some other stuff that happened in the world of sports.
I got a quarterback.
Jeffrey has a quarterback, and he got this preferred quarterback.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that as well. Before then, I will tell you, if you're selling your house, call Josh Heisa and his team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. I'll slow that down, 901-461-8147. Among other things, Josh can tell you how much your home is worth for free. Only take a few seconds. All you have to do is type in your address and it'll pop up your estimate. He'll let you know what your house is worth. And then in terms of putting together a deal and putting together a marketing plan, no one better. I was blown away when I sat down and met with Josh. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time, risk free. Here's the thing. If you price, it's a tricky market, but if you market your house right and you price your house right, there was a house I was actually looking at over the weekend. And I look at lots of houses that, because I'm thinking of downsizing, that are, so I just, you know, just musing on the online. And lots of houses are out there for months and months and months and months and months. But there was a house I was thinking of going to look at over the weekend. It sold in a day. Sold in a day. It was a great house, yeah, but the other thing was it was priced exactly right. It was marketed. It was priced. And all of a sudden, bam, sold in a day. Josh Heisa can do that for you, can help you get there too. Again, the phone number, 901-461-8147. joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Claire went and my wife went and picked up her the piece that she was having framed at the frame corner, and it's beautiful. Something that she had from her family, and so she wanted it done, and she wanted it done expertly. I don't even understand these words. She said, look, they floated it. I don't know what that means exactly, but it looked beautiful. Now she's deciding where to put it, and we will have it forever. That's what custom framing can do. No better place than the frame corner, 5035 Park Avenue, Frame Corner, Memphis. .com. All right, Jeffrey. We were talking during the break, you and I, and we'll wrap up a little bit on the NCAA tournament here. Congratulations to Tennessee. Congratulations to Ole Miss. Ole Miss men and women, both. How about that?
I mean, it has to be the first time ever. Because the men have only advanced to the Sweet 16 once.
Men have only been in the Sweet 16 once. That was 2001.
Correct. It has to be the first time ever they've advanced on the same day.
And honestly, that was, they just blew them out. They led by 26 at one point forced 15 turnovers. Like they looked terrific in beating Iowa State. And then Arkansas in the slugfest that Chris Harrington was mentioning beats St. John 75-66. Billy Richmond, by the way, played well. Billy Richmond, people are like, he's unhappy. He's bad. It's funny how the tournament can change things, both for a program and for players, right? You know what I mean?
Like advance.
And then advancing, yes. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, people would have told you that Arkansas fans are miserable with John Calipari. Now look at him. And now look at Billy Richmond. Hit a big jumper. I think it was just fewer than 3 minutes. St. John's would have been two. And Billy drains that jumper. First Sweet 16 for Cal since 2019. He beats Patino. He's now 14-10 against Patino. So Tennessee
also 3-2 in the tournament.
And 3-2 in the tournament. So Tennessee Sweet 16, Arkansas Sweet 16, Ole Miss Sweet 16. Colorado State, after beating Memphis, was in the most dramatic shot. Derek Queen, that's a hell of a shot. Now, did he walk? Sure, maybe. But that's I don't know how you can guard that better than they did. Like he was
falling out of bounds.
Falling away off glass. Just an unbelievable shot over a guy who's 6'7".
Yes.
Ethan Morton, 6'7". They dropped in the three-pointer with 6 seconds to go, feeling pretty good about themselves.
By the way, Maryland had a foul to give.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that was ridiculous.
No one pointed it out.
That's interesting. It was a clean look, too.
Yes.
Clean look. And anyway, Derek Queen with the so you've got a Sweet 16 with four conferences represented.
Really three.
The four power conferences represented. And
three in Duke.
Okay, three in Duke. Yes, three in Duke. I guess that's right. Three in Duke. Seven SEC teams and your plucky underdog is Arkansas.
Yes.
With their, whatever, $7 million? Like, I was looking back at reports when Calipari was hired, what the NIL pot would be, and there are various, it's certainly at least five, but then there are other people were saying at least six, and then they were saying someone else might make a major commitment. So it is a large pot of money.
You could tell me they have the most expensive roster in the league.
Yeah. So, and they're your underdog. They're your 10 seed.
Right. I would argue the real underdog's Ole Miss, but yes.
I think that's probably right.
The real under, like if we're talking about just the roster, it's Ole Miss.
And tradition and everything.
Sure.
I think you're right. I think Ole Miss is your plucky underdog. And you got all four number ones. It really was a, would you say it has been a bad tournament as tournaments go? If you love the wild, crazy first weekend, it was not that.
It was definitely a chalky tournament. I want to get to this week. And once we get through this week, then assess, because typically what we see is when we have tournaments that are this chalky, the second weekend
has the upset.
It's just absolutely bonkers, bananas.
Because then you don't have the teams that are going to be rolled over that are just happy to have made it.
Yeah, I think what I had felt like for much of the year was there aren't 68 good teams. I think we saw this. But I also think to get to this week, you had to be a pretty good team. And so now I think we really have pretty good teams left.
So, and we mentioned before, regionally, it's great for the folks from Ole Miss and Tennessee and Arkansas. For Memphis fans, I think it must be particularly galling that those are programs, let's be honest, like we can go back and forth about whether Memphis has been the better program or Tennessee historically. Memphis has very clearly had Final Fours where Tennessee has not, whatever. Arkansas has had great success in the past and has a rich tradition, but Ole Miss doesn't at all, really.
None.
As we point out, this is only their second Sweet 16, and like they're all in the Sweet 16, and Memphis is sitting here like pondering whether it was a successful, having the philosophical debate. Like that's galling, but it's not just galling. It should be depressing because this is not just some accident. This is not some accident. And if you look at the Sweet 16, that's not some accident either.
No.
It's the teams with the money. It's the teams from the big conferences. It's the teams with the significant resources. Those are the teams that are succeeding. And for Memphis, it just gets tougher and tougher and tougher. If you're P.J. Hagerty, and you're just trying to decide what's best for you. And maybe you fell in love with Memphis and the fans and Penny and the relationship. And you know, maybe you're grateful for the success you've had here. What Penny did for you, he became an All-American at Memphis. Why mess with that? That would be great. Maybe you have a girlfriend. I don't know. Like, whatever. You know, who knows? Who knows what would be keeping you here? But just from a, if you're just a businessman, is Memphis going to be able to match what some school in the SEC is going to be able to offer P.J. Hagerty? And even, let's say Memphis could match. Let's say it's,
this is the larger question.
Let's say it's $3 million, $2.5 million, whatever it is. And Memphis is like, you know, we're going to dig deep. We're going to get this done. I don't know. Let's say you're Georgia or Florida or pick a team, whatever. Having succeeded in, if you're P.J. Hagerty, I hope not. I want him to come back. But wouldn't you say, all right, now I'm going to go test myself there. You know, now I'm going to go play in the place where I look up in the suite, everyone from the suite. Hell, in order to not get in the NCAA tournament, if you were in the SEC this year, you had to pretty much have to shoot your foot off.
Yes.
14 of the 16 get in. You're practically, just by being in the SEC, you got a ticket to the NCAA tournament. For Memphis, it's a struggle every year. If they hadn't had the non-conference schedule, they might have had to win the conference tournament. And then you're playing freaking, your big games are games against North Texas. Like, come on, man. And you wouldn't want to go to where your big games are every single week?
Well, and just the
iron sharpens iron?
Just the exposure. I mean, how many games is Memphis playing on plus?
So, I mean, I hate to say it. It just is, again, I'm not, This is why there's all this conference stuff, and it is just, and it is, the money mostly pours in football. But then there's so damn much money, it sloshes over into basketball or whatever. Like, there are just, there's just more resources. There's more resources. And so you may, if you're Penny, just to pay, if you can, if you are an AAC team and can have a budget to match a, and knock yourself out, but you may need a bigger budget because you got to persuade them to come and play games against Rice.
Well, yeah, because all things being equal, they're going to pick, well, I'll go play in the league where,
you would think,
every game matters.
Where every game matters and where every team makes the NCAA tournament. And every Saturday, every game I'm being tested and challenged. And I mean, I think it's a massive problem for college basketball too. Like, it is true that we're going to have, I think the second weekend could be great. If all that matters to you is best on best, you know, if including the 300 plus schools and having, you know, then if that doesn't, if you don't need that, if you don't need, I mean, hell, even the Gonzagas of the world, like, it's just going to be tougher.
Gonzaga's switching leagues.
Yeah. And so, I mean, UConn's, you know, the Big East is a big boy, and but
I don't know,
but they talk about it too.
I mean, it's a problem.
And so it is a massive problem, and
the Big East does not have a team here, and Nova doesn't feel like they're trending back. Like, do I think UConn could be a one-off, and that this is a disappointing year, and that they could find it? Yes, I do think that that's entirely possible. But am I 100% confident? No.
So it's a real. It is a real problem for Memphis, and you know, and then people compare it to the years when Memphis was going to the Sweet 16 every 4 years. Well, then the Memphis basketball budget was bigger than the Ole Miss basketball budget. I'm confident, much bigger than the basketball.
Like, dwarfed it.
And then, if you grew up and you were a kid who grew up playing basketball at Memphis, you just wanted to play at the University of Memphis, and you,
well, and we were producing high school basketball players at a higher rate,
and you stayed here all the way through high school, and you didn't, if you were really good like Billy Richmond, you didn't go off to some prep school or wherever else, you just,
that's been
stayed,
a huge change, is
you,
that
you stayed, yeah, and played in your Memphis high school, and then Larry Finch drove over there in his car, and he said, we'd love for you to come to Memphis, and you'd say, there's nothing to make me happier. And the world is different now. And now, literally, as Penny said, it's just about how big the paycheck is. And Memphis has a hard time, like, only because Memphis has the passion. I mean, the truth of the matter is, we criticize the other schools in this conference for not doing more. But the outlier is Memphis.
Yeah.
They do what they can do because no one really gives a flip, you know? And Memphis is the outlier. It's because Memphis has mattered deeply here. And so you do have boosters who've dug deep to make this happen. But will they be able to do it again and make it happen again? We shall see. But it's a real, that's the real problem. It's not that you, damn, I'm jealous of Ole Miss this year, or I'm jealous of Tennessee this year, or I'm jealous of Arkansas this year. It's that I worry that this is the new reality.
I think that's the biggest question of this year is this a sign of how this is going to be? Like, is this act one, if you will, or is this an outlier? I know which way I would bet.
Well, what was the argument that it would be an outlier?
That,
just, I know you bet the other way, but what's the argument that it's the outlier?
The argument that it would be an outlier is that the money programs have a leg up on everyone, but eventually it's going to settle back down, and that,
why?
Eventually,
in the end, you get the players you pay for. They'll always have the better players. So why is it a, and like, I mean, we see that Tennessee, they go out and they get a high profile every year. They get them, and where do they get them from? They get them from the mid majors, who would ordinarily be using those players to make their runs in the NCAA tournament.
The other argument could also be this: is that the lower levels, the lower programs, they might have opportunities of getting some of the better high school kids that are now getting neglected. I mean, obviously the McDonald's All-Americans right. are going to still yeah. get recruited.
Right.
And that you could.
Yeah, the problem is what normally then happens is they develop
right.
them,
get them for a year and they're
you
gone.
Get them, you get them from the year when they're not good enough and
right.
then they become good enough and then they're gone. Anyway, I don't. It feels like it's, you know, it feels like it's a trend. There is other news, Jeffrey, including the New York Giants have a quarterback, Jameis Winston. How do you feel about that?
I was legitimately
thrilled,
happy on Saturday when the news broke because I just wanted no part of the Russ Rodgers experience. And I don't know if this means that we're not going to draft a quarterback or whatnot, but it's like, okay, worst case scenario, I'm going to at least have a fun 5-12, 6-11, and get to go back and do the quarterback thing again next year.
Do we think that Malik Nabers is going to catch 1,500 yards worth of passes from Jameis?
If I'm Malik, I'm very happy. Because
Jameis fire away.
Jameis is not afraid to let it rip and give his guy a chance.
It'll be interesting. Like I Dable's good. You know, I think he's good. I saw what he did with Josh. I think he's good. And I've always wondered why Jameis Winston couldn't be better.
I think he was on the right path in New Orleans, and then he broke his back. I think he was on a path to like actually playing pretty good football.
The Cleveland experience made me realize. I maybe think he probably is what he is, though. Like he's
yeah, but
so
nutty. Even if he is, it's still electric.
No, it's fun. It's electric. Yeah, absolutely. And then explain to me why Rodgers went to visit the Steelers, and yet they haven't reached a deal. What the hell is the problem there?
I mean, to me, it's either one of two things: it's the number, or it is the how's this going to look? Because Rodgers was going to want to run his offense and. That's just not really how the Steelers. I would imagine it's a.
You think that they're there, and you think there's an impasse, you
yes,
know, of some type.
But if you're Rodgers, where else are you going to go? That's, yeah. That can even give you a roster good enough to win. No other options out there.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. George Foreman died over the weekend. Obviously, an incredible, known best as a grill salesman.
Yes, of course.
Did you own a George Foreman grill?
I did not, but they were all the rage in college.
Have you used one? Have you deployed
one? My roommate had one, yes.
And how was it? Was it quality? I've never used one.
It was fine. It was very popular with bacon. A lot of people...
Bacon.
Yeah, very popular with bacon. It got the job done.
Came back, obviously lost in Zaire to Ali, and then came back at age whatever the hell it was.
46,
old man,
wasn't it, I think?
To win the championship again, and then reimagines himself again with the George Foreman grill. A colorful life, unquestionably. I don't know if you've been checking in on the fortunes of the U.S. men's soccer team.
Yeah, it didn't go well last night.
No, this is ignominious. I mean, given everything that's happening, we lose to Panama, and now we lose to Canada on U.S. soil for the first time since 57.
We're just going to have to invade.
Just that uppity state.
Mm-hmm.
That was outrageous. Anyway, tonight, get down there at AutoZone Park, Redbirds and Cards, the Battle of the Birds. I'll be down there. Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next with Jason and John. Jason's going to be handing out Respect Burgers. Jeff's going to join him at 1:25. Norton Hurd will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright & Company. Jason Munn's going to join us at 2:35. The Cardinals and Redbirds tonight, 6:05 p.m. You can hear it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.